Welcome to the Husband Material Podcast, where we help Christian men outgrow porn. Why? So you can change your brain, heal your heart, and save your relationship. My name is Drew Boa, and I'm here to show you how. Let's go. Today on the show, we have Jasper Hall Jr., president of Pure Hope. Welcome to the show, Jasper.
Drew, thanks so much. It's great to be here.
Awesome. So Pure Hope has a mission, seeing a world free from sexual brokenness. Why are you so passionate about this?
Well, Drew, I tell you, it's interesting. The simple answer is being a red-blooded American male and the recognition of my own sin nature and depravity. And that sounds very formal in the way that I'm saying that. I'm going to break it down for you as we go along. But for me, I think the idea of brokenness in general sort of denotes this idea of despair, hopelessness, right? Yeah. So what we do at Pure Hope is we talk a lot about sexual brokenness and sort of the reasons for that. So that sexual piece of that is a recognition that we're all sexual beings, that we were created male and female image bearers. And I think what's happened culturally is that idea of the word sex has changed so much over the centuries, you know, over many, many years. And, you know, it's not really until the 20s, the roaring 20s of the sexual revolution, that the idea of the word sex really more translated to this thought of an activity, right? Mm. In fact, today, even when I say that word or you say that word and men hear that word, our mind sometimes goes straight to those images. Whereas God's design back to Genesis 1 really was male and female image bearer, made in the image of Christ, you know, to honor him.
So sex being an activity, something that I do rather than this is part of who I am.
Exactly. Exactly. We call it identity in Christ. Sex is not about activity, but identity in the one who created us.
So good. And you guys do a lot of things. I'm just really getting familiar with your organizations. You put out all kinds of content. You're equipping people. What is Pure Hope doing right now?
Yeah, I mean, our message, just to make it simple, is we equip you. And we started using the word you. We used to say men, women, children, et cetera. But when you're talking to someone, you want to make it very personal, right? We equip you to pursue purity through relationship with Jesus, the one who's pure. And so that's simple. The flow is really nice. It's easy to say. It rolls off the tongue. And I say it that way because there's been a lot of work, right? We've had lots of iterations over the years. This ministry started in the 80s as the Coalition Against Pornography. And over years and years, I think we sort of modified the thinking to go, what do we want to be for and not against? Yeah. And therefore, what's the message of hope that redeems us? So we want to equip you to pursue that purity through Jesus, the one who is pure. And our founding core verse around that name, Pure Hope, is in 1 John 3:3. It says, all who thus hope in him purifies himself as he is pure. So we have our hope fixed on the one who is pure.
Yeah. And this is very different from the evangelical purity culture.
Exactly. I mean, frankly, what it comes down to for us is we know we're all broken. You know, I have a dear pastor friend that over many years in sermons, he would say, we're all tore up from the floor up. Mm. And that mantra, whatever you want to call it, has always been something in the back of my mind of, no matter how good I think I am or how well I think I'm doing, that that sin nature, that what I was born into, that brokenness is always going to be that piece underneath, that runs underneath. And really what I want to always be doing is looking to Jesus, the one who is my pure hope. Yes. Because I'm not going to accomplish it on my own. And you talk about this all the time, Drew.
Right. And I also love that verse that says he's purifying a people for himself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's it. That's it.
Right. So he is the one doing this thing. Purity is not this spotless state of behavior that I can lose in an instant. Yes. It's more of a quality of character. It's this relationship where we're becoming more like Jesus.
That's right. Well, and I love that you said that because that's part of our narrative as well is, you know, we're not going to see a world free, as we say, you know, a world free of sexual brokenness until we meet the Savior. But in the meantime, because he pursues us, and that's the beautiful thing. This is what I love about this, because the idea of just pursuing him sort of denotes that thought of I'm striving.
Yeah.
When really what he calls us to is abiding. Would you abide in me? Mm. And that what that does is it, in some ways, it takes that pressure off. It doesn't mean that we're not disciplined. It doesn't mean that we're not able to say, God, I got to take up this cross daily to follow you. But knowing that you're pursuing me means, man, I'm that much more incented to crawl into the Father's arms and follow him.
Yeah. Knowing that he's doing the heavy lifting.
That's right.
He has done everything necessary to make us pure. And we're just aligning ourselves with what he's already done and coming home.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. It's a beautiful thing. It's not easy.
Right.
And I know you know that. I know your men that listen and many of the women that listen as well know this because that's our daily struggle. That's why I think, you know, it's so important. When you know, I've heard that scripture my whole life. Take up your cross, follow me. Mm-hmm. It's had more meaning in the last couple of decades of my life as a man, as a father, as a husband, because without that daily acknowledgement. And, you know, there's that. I don't know about you guys, but I sort of grew up in that, you know, did you get up and have your devotion? You know, if you've got a family, are you leading your family in that way, et cetera? And some of that traditional / social thinking, nothing wrong with it. We all should have these rhythms, right? But I think when it comes to this conversation, and especially as guys, I don't want to overgeneralize, but you got that reel-to-reel projector of images rolling through your mind. You know, what are you doing every day to renew your mind to Christ and making that a practice?
Yeah. So on this journey of abiding in Christ, following Jesus, renewing our minds, sometimes it's so easy to lose hope and to wonder, will I ever be free? Much less, you know, will the world ever be free? But is it really possible for me to be pure? Because I've been trying for so long and I've been working so hard and I'm still not getting the results. And one of the big obstacles that we're facing is with our digital devices. Yeah. With my phone, my laptop, with all of life, which is becoming more and more digital, sometimes it's like, well, I just want to throw it all away, but I also want to spend all my time on it.
So, exactly.
Even though I've been free from porn for years, this is still a struggle for me. Right. Navigating the world of technology in a way that's healthy, in a way that's holy. And this is something that you have thought a lot about coming from an IT background.
Yeah.
And something that it sounds like you talk a lot about at Pure Hope.
We do. And it's interesting. I mean, I'd be remiss if I didn't acknowledge right out of the gate, you ask a great question, will I ever be free?
Yeah.
Right. That goes back to the answer of freedom is only found in Jesus. So we're going to continue to struggle, right? In these fleshly bodies, in these temples, it's going to be a struggle till Jesus returns. The good news is the hope, as we talk about, is there's so many things that we can be doing to create good behaviors, as I said, renewing your mind. And so in this space of navigating a digital age, as we call it sometimes at Pure Hope, we start to talk about, we've got everything from a 5-point tech strategy for your home. We've got tools and methodologies around how do you actually protect, you know, at the router level in your home. How do you, you know, have great exercises with your children and your friends and other people maybe that you lead that set aside times. There's something we use called a tech basket or having a tech Sabbath. The tech basket, for example, is, you know, when you go to bed, everybody's device goes in a basket, right? I mean, it could be a box, it could be whatever. But it's something where it's not going to the bedroom with you. The tech Sabbath, a little more aggressive, right? We're going to all have one day of the week where we have no device, right? That seems like not only impossible, but preposterous for a lot of people in our context and culture today. But just having, I always like to use the term baby steps, right? Maybe it's not that full day. Maybe it's half a day. Maybe you start with a couple of hours, but creating a discipline around the idea of, I don't want to be in front of this, but we know this isn't foolproof. And Drew, I think you made the very point of in many cases, there's a need. I think about this remote learning world we're living in right now. You know, many students need it. They need their device to get online, get on Canvas, get on, you know, whatever the case may be, Teams calls, whatever, or Zoom calls. And I think it's creating routines, rhythms around when I'm on them and the purpose I'm on them and when I'm choosing not to be, being very intentional about that, almost scheduling rest time is what we say. And that's critical because they're always going to be around. And I'll say about that technology piece specifically, it's going to keep changing so rapidly, right? I mean, access is so easy. It's so available to you through all kinds of devices and things now. But one thing we talk about at Pure Hope is, what are we modeling? What are we modeling as leaders? What are we modeling as parents, et cetera? Yeah. So I talked about the tech Sabbath, the tech basket, all those things. That's great. A little more difficult without certain disciplines. But what am I modeling? If I'm coming to the dinner table and I've had a hard day at work and I'm still on my phone responding to messages, what's that communicating to my son or daughter on, man, there's no self-control there. Now that may be work. Well, they're going to justify the importance of why they need to be on there as well. So what are the rhythms and expectations we can set for others so they're not managing our schedule and say, hey, this is going to be committed, dedicated time away from technology for my family. And in that, there's a witness, right? And yeah. Again, I would just echo, repeat, baby steps, baby steps. Yeah. Start small and grow.
Baby steps, even the little step of having a basket.
Yes, yes. We've heard from all over the country the people that come back and say, man, I like that tech basket thing. It was simple, you know, and I'm sure many of your listeners are privy to or have seen or heard about the Netflix special, The Social Dilemma. We wrote about it a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, there's a scene in there, hopefully not a spoiler alert, of where the family decides they're going to use this timed lockbox to put their phones in. And the daughter has such an addiction to technology that literally probably 5 minutes, she can't take it anymore. She disappears from the table, finds safety goggles and a hammer to break into the box because you can't open it unless the timer goes off. And she gets the phone and runs out of the room. Doesn't even realize she's broken someone else's phone, right, in the process. And so that type of addictive behavior obviously isn't healthy, but unfortunately, I think it's fairly common in our culture.
Yeah,
so I mean, what are we modeling, I think, is the question, right?
Well, I'll tell you what I was modeling this morning. I was reading my Bible and my daughter comes up to me and she says, I want to read too. I was in the Sermon on the Mount, so it was pretty simple stuff.
Right, right.
And I said, okay. Jesus says, you are the light. What does light do? And she said, it helps you see things. I said, that's like you. You help me see things. She says, yeah, I help you see things, not just your phone.
Wow. Wow. Did you say how old she was, Drew?
She's 3.
Wow. See, that just tells you right there. That's amazing, right? And I do want to say, right, this is a conversation that talks about our hope in Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. So the moment that we find ourselves in this sort of performance battle where we're striving, mm-hmm. you're going to feel like there's failures. Yeah. But as with anything, you know, how do I start this again tomorrow? How do I use that opportunity with my 3-year-old to say, honey, you know what? Thank you so much for pointing that out to me. I am really working on that, and I want us to continue to do a great job as a family balancing that. That's why you're going to see times, you know, depending on the age-appropriate conversation, right, where we're trying to put it away,
right.
And then there's times when we are. So it gives you these, we call it ongoing dialogue, right? One of our big resources we've had a number of years is called Quest Parenting in a Sexualized Culture, and that covers 4 parts where we talk about the foundation, what is God's better story of sex. And then secondly, we talk about the conversation. What's that ongoing dialogue that we're having, right, where it's not a one-time conversation. Yeah. It's not a do as I say, not as I
the
do.
Talk.
Yeah, the talk, so on and so forth. And then we really talk about technology and how we protect what we can. I talked about the 5-point strategy. And finally, how do I leave a godly legacy? You know, how can I as a grandparent well, or even parent in many cases well?
Yeah.
So that digital piece is definitely difficult. You know, I'll do a quick aside here, Drew, and say, you know, this ministry's had a chance to expand in the last couple of years, and we're doing great work in Africa. We started in West Africa through a connection that our ministry had, and we have a pastor there now that's an advocate for our ministry that's been in 17 countries sharing these same messages. And then even this past summer, I had a chance to do some work with a pastor in Pakistan, where we literally did Skype calls. To talk about, in their words, how do I honor God with my body? Mm. And the aha moment for me and why I share this is we tend to sometimes go, well, this is just my issue. you know, the secret. How do I handle and hide this, right? But I found myself really blown away at the thought of, and this is simple, like I shouldn't be blown away. But when I see a grandmother come up to the camera during Q&A from Pakistan, and it's translated by my pastor friend there, and says, I just don't know what to do with the constant watching YouTube videos. You know, it's so far out of my day-to-day context that I'm like, wait a minute, I'm talking to Pakistan. And this grandmother's telling me the same story because she's raising orphan children, right? Or her grandchildren. So it gives you an idea of how pervasive, but it's the same in every context, very much the same.
Yeah, what I'm hearing you say is that we have a global struggle with this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It goes well beyond the walls of me just looking at my device, right? Me just doing my thing. And, you know, I mentioned that resource. The truth is, you know, a lot of times people will hear that and go, well, I'm not a parent, right? Or that's not my story. But the reality is this, it's everyone's story, yeah. Right? Everyone is defined and centered. We started this conversation with male and female image bearers, sexual mm-hmm. beings. We don't like to think of that term in, because of what I said about the revolution and the fact, sexual revolution and the fact that the word typically denotes activity. But when we get our head around another core tenet that we have at Pure Hope, it's called purity is not an accomplishment, but a relationship with the one who's pure. Mm-hmm. That becomes game changing. Because then you're moving away from performance. Back to your question, Drew. You're moving away from, I got through today. I have to tell you, honestly, and I'll say this to guys especially, I haven't really necessarily struggled throughout my adult life with addiction to pornography, et cetera. But I did start out by saying red-blooded American male, which means I do notice, right? I do understand the challenge and the temptations. What I had to do, and this is just my thing, right? I encourage you to think about what yours is I use this thing all the time called preaching to myself, right? If there's a distraction, if there's something that comes across my path and I go, man, that's not something I should be thinking about or looking at, right? My pastor says, you know, the scene of the crime is your mind. And that's right. So for me, I start that preaching to myself. And you can think that that's something formal, but here's what it is for me. I have a bad thought. I look at something I shouldn't look at, and my thought immediately becomes Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Just saying his name over and over. You see, because they can't occupy the same space of pointing my heart towards Jesus in a very simple way and doing that other thing at the same time. It just simply can't occupy the same space. And so I think you finding what that is for you is critical.
So it's no longer about performance. It's just about presence.
Absolutely. Oh, that's good. Absolutely. Presence with the Savior. That's exactly right.
And I had a guy in Husband Material Academy, my coaching program, say that he's recovering so much from performance-based Christianity. Maybe we need more presence-based Christianity.
That's right. That is so true. So true. And it's hard, right? Because again, you're not just dealing with tools and principles that are taught. You're talking about lifetimes of being socialized in certain ways. And even culturally now, what's being accepted as normative are the wallpaper of our culture. So that's pretty significant to battle against, as opposed to I read this great book or heard this great message and I'm going to try to adopt these principles.
Yeah,
that's very different. So it's the warring against our own will and our own minds. So I love that. And even a colleague of mine often says, sometimes we'll go into certain contexts and I'll go, what do we want to say here? We want it to be impactful and make an impact, et cetera, not to be redundant. And he goes, sometimes I think it's just ministry of presence. Hmm. How do we just be in that moment and be honest, be genuine, et cetera?
And that's what I'm learning to do with my devices is just to become more present.
Amen.
And sometimes that is putting away the device so I can be present to God and other people. And sometimes that is actually choosing to engage on this device and just be present to myself while doing it.
Like, that's right. Well, and that's good, Drew, because at the end of the day, these things weren't created all for bad.
Right.
Right. I mean, there's great things that come out of these resources, right? I mean, I know we say Alexa and Siri a lot.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, there is good information that comes out of these things.
Yeah. you know, both our sexuality and our technology are opportunities for growth and discipleship.
That's right. That's exactly right. And I'd be remiss if I didn't say the reason why that's so important to Pure Hope is 2021, we're releasing our first app. So Ooh. We're excited about having content be available at your fingertips on a daily basis. You know, whether it's video, whether it's actually written content, et cetera, but just access. Now, one of the challenges for a ministry like ours and many others where you're doing a lot of great content, you're equipping, you're doing events and things of that nature is you have that mountaintop experience of that one event. And then what do I do? And I think that's a world that you live in for sure, Drew, which is why it's so good for people to be able to come, you to be able to come alongside men. And let's walk you through this. Let's coach, let's mentor and create these new habits and things of that nature. So that's one of the ways that we're trying to kind of move to the next level of making sure people do have that equipping and they have those moments of preaching to yourself, right? Mm-hmm.
I love that. Let me know when the app comes out.
Absolutely, we will. Lots of exciting things, man. We're humbled. You know, COVID certainly presented an opportunity and a challenge at the same time for many of us. We saw it as an opportunity to step back and say, how can we get more tight, more succinct, more clear, and create avenues to be in front of and stay in front of. You know how critical right now with the pandemic, the very issue that we're talking about is, right? We've talked about it from the standpoint of depravity, you know, despair, hopelessness, et cetera, but you add to that isolation, you know, the secret, so on and so forth. It's to me, it's mind boggling. And yet we have this amazing opportunity to use the same technology we're talking about to get in front of people and tell the story of hope, tell God's better story.
Yeah, we are taking back our technology.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely.
Porn has had a monopoly.
That's right. That's right. Exactly.
And I love how redemptive it is that these devices that have so often led us astray are now being reclaimed and beginning to lead us back home.
Amen. Amen. Couldn't agree more. And especially, you know, you mentioned my background years and years at Microsoft. You know, I watched that technology evolve and change. And now it's just at an astounding rate. You know, they use the word quantum all the time. Well, that's truly the rate that it's happening. But the core thing about this that I think we have to remember is in spite of all that, God's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we're still these beings, these humans, and trying not to be human being, but human doing for Jesus. It's so critical for us to stay grounded in that. If we can keep our eyes and focus on him as our hope, there's freedom in that. There's peace in that.
So Jasper, for somebody who is listening to this, who is struggling with hope right now, maybe struggling especially with hope for freedom from porn. Mm-hmm. What would you want to say to that person?
I'd want to acknowledge first off, and forgive me if I'm repeating myself, it is difficult, right? I think we have to be at the same place that you are in the struggle, right? Because if we're not there now, we've been there. And if we've been there and we're not there now, we may go there again. That's just the nature of being in this human flesh. But I think having not only resources and opportunities to be equipped like we've been talking about today, but finding ways to connect in community and accountability and having opportunities to love on one another is so critical. We have something at Pure Hope that we use. It's actually right in our name. It's called the Pure Loop. We think this is an extremely beneficial tool. Our name is Pure Hope, but that pure piece really is an acronym for what we call this loop. And the words there are pray, understand, resolve, and engage. Hmm. And we think this is a very powerful tool because what we're saying is that in that prayer, you are praying, Lord, and I'm going to use this as an example because this is a conversation. I'm struggling. I'm in a difficult place. I don't think there's hope. I want to believe you, but everything around me says there's not hope. And I'm being inundated every day, beaten down by this. So you're praying, Lord, help me. Help me. Jesus, help me. And then you have an understanding that, yes, this is an issue. I do need to be educated. I do need to understand where the challenges are coming from. I do need to understand where the opportunities to improve are. And then you have this sense of resolve, like, you know what? I got it. I've prayed. I understand the issue. I'm resolving. I'm never going to do this again. I'm going to have accountability. I'm going to get people around me. And that's where that E, the engagement, prayer, understand, resolve, engage. Engaging is usually the challenging factor for us because engaging sometimes means being vulnerable. It means having accountability. It means being in community and connecting with others. And that's sometimes where we drop the ball, especially as guys, right? Because I don't want to tell my story. I don't want to open up about this. And, you know, that's everyone. Like I told you about Pakistan, Africa. You know, I went to Africa and I thought, well, their problem has to be slightly different than mine. No, it's the same. So you want that engagement in context. When you don't do the engagement, that's where the loop comes from. Because you find yourself right back at, I blew it again. Let me go back to pray. And let me understand the issue. Let me resolve it. Let me engage. So we believe truly that's where that hope piece comes from. And we all do have that hope in Jesus. That's a promise. 1 John 3:3. All who have this hope fixed on him purifies himself as he is pure.
Amen. P-U-R-E. That's easy to remember.
That's it. Absolutely.
Back into the arms of Jesus. Back onto the road of discipleship.
That's right.
And something else my daughter tells me, she's discipling me, I guess you could
say. I love it.
Sometimes I'll be pushing her on a swing or something, and I get distracted on my phone, and she says, "Daddy, you froze up. I'm not here. I'm not being present." And she's kind of bringing me back. And I have this image of just this gentle wake up from Jesus. Like, "Hey, you froze up. Come back to me."
Wow. That's profound. I mean, it's right through that conversation, too, of technology, so to speak. Yeah. It's very good. Very good.
It's that relationship with Jesus that we keep coming back to.
That's right. And that's the only hope, right? I mean, at the end of the day, and we've said that a couple times throughout here, but, you know, I've been a Christian since I was 10 years old. And I've been through that period in my life where it was, you know, it's all about works, right? It was about the outward appearance, you know, I went to the altar, I gave my life to Jesus, et cetera. And I didn't even at the time understand what grace meant. I didn't understand that it wasn't about performance and doing the right things, checking the boxes. In fact, it took me down a road of being fairly pharisaic, you know, don't drink, don't smoke, don't cuss, don't chase women. And while that was really never my personality, it was sort of this thing hanging over me, like, don't make up, don't mess up, don't make a mistake. Don't think a bad thought. Don't lust. Don't look a second time. And in that, I was sort of erasing my humanity, right, of who I am. But through the lenses of the conversations we're having now, wow, it's empowering, right?
Mm-hmm.
Acknowledging, yes, you know, I'm going to struggle. Those are things. Those are real. But wow, look at the hope in Jesus that I have. Look at what I can have in community with others where we support one another.
When I engage.
Absolutely. And I will say, like with a lot of guys, I've used this a lot, but recently I've had a chance to actually experience it twice. And, you know, guys, you may have heard this mantra about who are my 3 a.m. brothers, yeah. Right? Who are the guys that I can call in the deep of night with a struggle or with somewhere I shouldn't be thinking? I've said that ad nauseum. You know, I find myself doing a lot of coaching and, you know, unofficial counseling of brothers and friends, et cetera. And I've used that a lot. But recently I actually got a couple of those texts and those calls. And the first one was like, wow, oh, they really did it. The second one, it was like, man, praise the Lord. Because you can say that all day long, but who's going to really take you up on it? And that's what true community and discipleship and accountability is. And we need that. We can't do what we're doing in this context alone.
Man, what a sacred gift to get that 3 a.m. text or phone call.
Amen. Amen. Well, and those relationships, you know, have cemented over time. But to your point, Drew, it's like it just drew it even another layer closer.
Yeah. And I know from experience that making that 3 a.m. phone call is so hard. And I'm going to think, am I annoying the person? I don't want to bother them. And then it comes as such a surprise that they're actually so blessed by...
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and I know we don't want to go too far down this road, but I think of our context today with the pandemic and justice issues and, you know, some of the things that we've seen contextually in our culture. We are a lot less apt to think and believe that these things are even possible. right? Because there's lots of polarization. There's lots of, you know, we don't, this group doesn't talk to this group, and we don't believe you, we don't like you, we don't trust you, etc. And the reality is this: I know, and I know you know, Drew, God's calling us to come together in unity as a people, as a body, as his body, right? So that we have that hope in leaning into one another, but ultimately trusting him for our peace, for our freedom, for our lives. And the good news is, again, I'm repeating myself, but he hasn't changed, right? It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So in spite of what's happening in our context culturally, yeah, God is still saying, here I am standing at the door. Hmm. Here I am knocking.
Amen. Yep.
Come unto me. And again, that's inclusive of this conversation around our sexual brokenness, which I think is core, but it goes beyond that. I told Drew, even before we started talking today, I said, you know, bottom line is Pure Hope's about Jesus first and foremost. And then it's starting to pull the conversation through the lenses of the sexual brokenness.
And sexual brokenness comes into clarity and alignment when we have our story about him set straight.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Jasper, thanks so much for being on the show today. What is your favorite thing about this freedom that Jesus gives us?
Well, first of all, honored and excited to have spent this time with you today, Drew. Really excited. Look forward to an ongoing dialogue for us in the future as well. I think my favorite part is my family will tell you, I'm a pretty upbeat, funny, jovial guy, always looking for laugh opportunities. In fact, I'm often the end of the, or the butt of the funny for my family. But I think it's just the fact that I am a joyful, genuinely person, that I'm an amiable personality, Enneagram 2, Wing 3, all those things, right, make up who God has made me and who he's called me to be. So my most favorite and fun thing about that is I've moved to a place in my life where not only am I in a calling, you know, there's a lot of arguments out there about, is it a calling? Is it a career? Is it a job, et cetera? But I am enjoying every day with Jesus and recognizing that some days it's trusting him, even in my weakness or my unbelief. And other days it's rejoicing when I remove the scales of saying, man, look at what he's doing. Look at what he did. And I'm excited about what he's going to do. So I think it's, simply put, it's that being able to be authentic in who he's called me to be and live in that. And again, some days, guys, I hit the target. Other days I don't.
And when we don't, we take those baby steps.
That's right. Hope in him.
Awesome. Thank you, Jasper.
Drew, my pleasure, brother. So good. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah, me too. Awesome. For everyone else out there, always remember, you are God's beloved son, and in you, he's well pleased.